We asked the question in the previous year whether it's permitted to piggyback onto someone else's internet connection. On the one hand, I'm deriving benefits from something which belongs to you. On the other hand, you're not losing out. You're paying for the service anyway. It doesn't make a difference to you. It's not costing you anything anyway. We'll discuss if that's correct. So I'm gaining. And you're not losing out. So we said last time, the concept of kaifen al midas daim. We said we had two ways of understanding this reason to the halacha of zenen vezele chaser's potter. Why that is so? Why if I'm gaining and you're not losing out, I don't have to pay you for it? And we said one way of understanding it because you're not losing out, and therefore why should I pay for something if you didn't lose anything? The other way is no. Even if you're not losing out, I'm gaining, I should pay for it. Because I benefited from you, so I should pay you. But if you're not losing out, the rabbis force you to be a nice person, and kaifen al midas daim, don't make him pay for it. Based on that understanding, let's go now to the question at hand, the shaila. Could I piggyback on someone else's internet connection? Could I join someone else's connection? So we have to divide it, this shaila we have to divide, in different scenarios. First, it has to be clear that it's loy chaser, that you're not losing out. If by me going onto your internet connection, you are losing out, you cannot download something as fast perhaps because the internet connection is busy, more things are being downloaded at the same time, it's causing you some type of harm, some type of damage. If there is a chaser, then we'll discuss that later on. It's a different scenario. But let's talk about the first case. First case is there is no chaser. You're not losing out. I go on at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I know for a fact you're not up then on the internet. Most normal people sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. Or if they're up, they're learning Torah. Nobody's on the internet at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm up and I want to use your internet connection at 3 o'clock in the morning. There is no chaser. You're not losing out. So this might be a case of zenene v'zeloi chaser. I'm deriving benefit, and you're not losing out. So let's divide it into two scenarios. First case is, if I ask you permission, I went before and I asked you, could I use your internet connection? Well, if you give me permission, of course, permit it. No shaila, no question. You allow me, I don't have to pay you anything. How about if I ask you, and you don't give me permission? You say, I'm sorry, I don't let you do it. I'm not letting you do it. I don't want you using my internet connection. I'm not letting you do it. And I go ahead and I do it anyway. What's the halacha in such a case? So we explained that again, this would depend on the way you understand zen hene vezeloi chaser, that's potter. If the reason zen hene vezeloi chaser is potter is because I'm not making you lose out on anything, you're not incurring any losses because of me, so what do I care if I ask you permission? You said no. So what? Loi chasatech. I didn't make you lose anything. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're sleeping anyway. You don't even know I'm going on the internet, so you didn't give me permission. So what? I'm not taking anything from you. I would not have to pay. But if the svar of zen and of zele chaser's potter is because, really, when you derive benefit from someone else, you have to pay. You have to pay on the hano, on the full amount that you're deriving benefit. The only reason why you're potter is because lay chaser, and therefore we tell a person, be nice, kaifen al midas daim, let it go. So the person says, yes, I would have let it go. But if he asked me specifically, I have some reason. I don't want him to do it. I don't want him using my internet. And therefore you cannot force someone to be a nice person. You can't force somebody, kaifen al midas daim. And in such a scenario, lechara, you'd have to pay. The Ramah says, in Shin Samach Gimel Sivov, this halacha, Hago, v'davke shekvar doboy, aval lo yuchal lekoyfe lechatchile, shianichenu lo duboy. This whole halacha of zenene v'zelei chaser is potter, is only if he did it already. But beforehand, if he comes and he asks permission, and the person says, I don't want you using my internet connection, I don't want you using my item for free, even though I'm not losing out, you cannot force a person. Kaifen al midas daim, you cannot force a person beforehand. Says the Ramah, why? Even though we force a person, if it doesn't cost them anything, why not? We force a person to let it go, not to charge. Says the Rambam, the only time we force a person, if there's no way that he can derive any benefit from it whatsoever. For example, the person is away on vacation, and his parking spot is empty, and he wouldn't use it anyway, and he wouldn't give it out to anybody. So it's clearly a loy chaser. There's no way that he'll ever use this item that he has. Then if somebody tells him, listen, it's not costing you anything, I'm just standing in front of your house, then kaifan amidas doim. Aval b'chiyai gavna, says the Rama, but in this scenario, the boy bal chotze lahondos laviyach ulaski chatzero yochol, that in a case where potentially he could still use it, even though now he doesn't want to use it, but potentially he could still charge, he could still rent it out to someone else, he might have some reason that he wants to keep that property for himself, then you cannot force a person, even though now he doesn't, then we don't say, we don't force a person to give it for free. So there's a question, it's questionable on an internet connection when a person says at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to be up and I'm not going to use it, but I don't want you using my internet. So it depends. It might be that in this case, according to the Rama, it would be, you, even if you asked him permission, he didn't give you permission, you would not have to pay for it. Because what is he going to do with it at 3 o'clock in the morning? He's not going to rent it out to anybody. He's not going to charge anybody for the usage of the internet connection. He knows for a fact he's not using it. I don't know. It's questionable whether that's considered a potential usage of his internet, and therefore he can perhaps make it pay or not. It's questionable. I'm not sure. However, many argue in the Rama, and the one to argue in the Rama, for one, is the Noida Behuda. Noida Behuda says that he disagrees. He says that this distinction which the Rama makes, that we don't say kaifin al midas toim, we don't force a person to give it for free because potentially he might still be able to use it, but if there is no way that he can use it and there's no way that he is going to need that property, he's never going to rent it out, then you can force a person, even if he doesn't want to we can force a person to give up his property without charging money because after all, he's not using it anyway. The Noida Behuda argues with that. Now, the Buddha is talking about a scenario, a case, he has a shaila between two people, Reuven and Shimon, whereby Reuven hired Shimon to print a sefer for him. And he describes the sefer had Rashi and Tosfos, and on the bottom had the parish of this person, of Reuven. So he prepared the typeset, he prepared everything, and after he printed a sefer for Shimon, printed a sefer for Reuven. And after he's finished, so Shimon tells Reuven, listen, you know, I prepared already the typeset, so I'm going to keep the Rashi, and then you paid me for it, but I'm going to keep the Rashi and the Tosfos in the right format like this. When I want in the future, I want to print my own sefer, my own shas, I want to print with the Rashi and Tosfos without your parish. That belongs to you. But at least the letters which I prepared in the typeset, I want to be able to use it for myself in the future. Upon which Reuven said, I'm sorry, but I paid for the entire typeset, for my parish on the bottom, and for the Rashi and the Tosfos. I don't give you permission. And Shimon says, listen, I don't care if you don't give me permission. You paid for it already. It's all done already. Whatever is left over, the typeset of the Rashi and the Tosfos, it doesn't cost you anything anyway. I'm not taking anything from you. What do you care? I'm gaining. You're not losing out. And therefore, you have no right holding me back, preventing me from using the typeset for any future sefer without your parish. But the typeset of the Rashi and the Tosfos for any future sefer that I want for myself. So the question came before the Noida Behuda. So the Noida Behuda says it would depend, this shaila would depend on a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, asks the following question. If somebody buys a field next to his father's property, and then his father passes away, and they have to divide the inheritance between the various brothers. So the brother that had a field next to his father's property says, "Pligu li ametzroi." You're dividing it anyway, all the property that's left over. I have a field right next to my father's field. Give me the adjacent field. If you're dividing it anyway and I'm getting A and you're getting B and he's getting C, so then give me the one that's closest to my property that I have anyway. It should be one connecting field. Omar Rabbe says, Rabbe, such a case, we force the brothers, doesn't make a difference anyway, give him the one that's adjacent to his field. Says Rav Yosef, it's not true. The brothers can say, in a way Rashi learns it, the brothers can say, listen, you're right, to you it doesn't make a difference, or it might seem that all three fields that the father left us are all the same, but we think that the middle field or the field on the right that you want always gets the best rainwater, and therefore I don't want to give it up. So the Gemara says, halach is like Yosef, that's correct. If you have a reason why you feel that all three fields are not the same, then even though the first brother claims, listen, it's adjacent to my field, give me the one that's adjacent, but if you, the other sons, feel that no, the field that I want to give to the brother that he wants, that's adjacent to his field, is a better type of field, it gets more sun or it gets more rain or whatever it is, then in such a case, we don't say kofel al midas doim. There's a reason that we do not force the brothers to relinquish that field because they feel it's a better field. Tosfos argues in Rashi, and Tosfos says, no, that even without any reason whatsoever, just by dint of the fact that if they would have divided it by lots, if they would have taken they would have done it by the luck of the draw, and they would have divided the three fields based on, you know, on whichever, however they divided it, but by chance. So if I could have gotten the field that my brother wants, I don't have to give it to him for free. Don't have to give it for free. I can always keep it for myself. I don't have to give it for free. If that would have been my field, I'm not mechuyev. I don't have to give the field for free. Like Taisa says, Lai niten lechoschus sheyesh lanu besodeh im lai bedomim yekarim. Like these people, the Baal Murian, they knew, Ashirim, they never relinquished their fields unless you paid them top dollar for it. Therefore, since by the inheritance, if we draw lots, I can potentially have the field that you want. So even though you have a reason why you want it, and you want me to be a nice person, kofen al midas doim, nevertheless, you can't force me. I want to charge money because that potentially could be my field. If it falls by, if it's based on the luck, on the way we draw lots, perhaps it would have been my field. I don't have to relinquish that field unless you pay me for it. And these two halachas are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, one by the Rambam, the Mechaber, and the other by the Ramah. In Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Ayin Dalet Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, Noachin Shut, Fin Shabo Lach Lekasad of Likto Kalechet Chalkoi, that if the brothers come to divide a field, Im Hoiso Kula Shavu Legamri, if they're all the same, exact same type, then you divide equally. And one brother says, if one brother said, listen, I have an adjacent field anyway, give me the one field that's adjacent to my field, we listen to him, because that's midas doim. And then we force the brothers that you have to give up that field. Why not? Doesn't make a difference to you. They're all the same. And some say, the Ramah says, that we don't force a person to relinquish, we don't force the other brothers to give up that field. Even though that ostensibly all three fields look the same, and you don't even have a reason that one maybe is perhaps better irrigated or one has better sunlight. For no reason whatsoever, ain't shaymin loy. You don't force the brothers to give up that field. Because since that's your field, and you got it by inheritance, you don't have to give your brother the field. What difference make kofen al midas doim? No, because since it's mine, I don't have to relinquish it unless you pay me the money. Like the Shema says, Pirish v'yochel leimle, you can tell him, nachlik begoyrol. Let's draw lots, let's see what falls out. Why? The ein b'zeh midas doim, the yesh lo ischus begoyrol. Because you have a right, if it falls out that your lot is, that you get that field, if it falls out that that's your field, harashus b'yodesh layachlif imoim loy b'domim yekorim. You have a right to charge him money for it. I don't have to be. You can't force me. Al midas doim. You can't force me to be a nice person. I can want to. I can give it to you. Absolutely. But you can't force me. Says the Nerev Yudah so clearly. And the Gra says that is the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns as well, the Ramah, that says that you can't force a person to relinquish his field, even if one is not better than the other, he can say, it's mine, I'm not giving to you unless you pay me for it. That is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that that you can't force a person just to give up. We don't say, Kofen al midas daim, unless you pay money for it. Says Nerib Yudah, clearly we see a machlekes between the Mechaba and the Ramah. You're right, the Mechaba says, Kofen al midas daim. But the Ramah says that we never force a person beforehand to Kofen al midas daim. We don't force him to let go or to be a nice person. Kofen al midas daim is only after the fact. You don't say Kofen al midas daim beforehand. A person says, yes, I should be a nice guy and let you have it, but I don't want to for no reason whatsoever. Doesn't make a difference. You cannot force a person to relinquish his right unless he gets paid for it. He has a right to demand payment for it. That is the way the Ramah learns according to Nerib Yudah. And therefore Nerib Yudah says, you're right. In the case of our printing where Reuven paid for the printing and Shimon says, listen, the typesetting of Rashi and Tosfos, which is not your parish anyway, let me have it and I'm going to be able to print my safe in the future. It doesn't cost you anything and you paid for it also. Kofen al midas daim, why not? Reuven is right. And Reuven can say, no, you're right. It doesn't cost me anything. Zeh nena, you're gaining v'zeh lechaser. But you can't. You ask me beforehand. You cannot force me to relinquish my right for free. You don't say Kofen al midas daim before the fact. Only after the fact. Nerib Yehuda argues on the Ramah, and argues on the Ramah and Simen Shin Samach Gimel that says that the only time we say Kofen al midas daim is only if the only time we don't say Kofen al midas daim if there's a potential gain to be had. But if there's no potential gain, we force a person. Says the Rebbe, not true. Even if there's no potential gain and there's no way I'm ever going to use that field, it doesn't make a difference. We say Kofen al we don't say Kofen al midas daim, and we don't force a person to give up the right for free, and therefore Halach Lamaisad Nari Buda argues and says that no, beforehand a person always has a right to say, I'm not lending you unless you pay me the money. We don't say Kofen al midas daim. And therefore, in our scenario where you go to a person and you tell him, listen, I'm using your internet connection, is it okay with you? You're not losing out anyway. You're not losing out. You don't stand anything to lose. It's going to be at 3 o'clock in the morning and you admit to me that you're not going to be using it. It's not going to slow down your internet connection. According to the Nerib Yehuda, and that's the halacha, if the person says beforehand, I don't let you, even if he has no reason whatsoever, I don't care, I don't want to let you, pay me money, otherwise I'm not giving it to you, then that person is right. And if you use his internet connection without permission, you would have to pay him. How about if you did not ask him? How about if you did it anyway? See, we did not ask him. You didn't ask him. You went in the middle of the night and you used someone else's internet connection. So it depends. If you used your neighbor's internet wireless connection without his knowledge and you know for a fact that he was not on the internet or he did not slow him down whatsoever, you were not mechaser him. He did not derive any losses whatsoever from the fact that you were on his connection. If it's achre ha-maisa, if it's after the fact, you would not have to pay him. According to this, it's zeh nener, I'm gaining, zeh lechaser, you're not losing out, you were not online anyway, it didn't slow you down in any shape or form whatsoever. It's after the fact, hador b'chotzeh chaveiroi, if you use someone else's, I derive benefit from someone else's item, and he's not losing out, I'm not incurring upon him any loss whatsoever, you don't have to pay, and that's halacha, zeh nener v'zeh lechaser, you don't have to pay. If, however, you did cause him some type of loss, and even if the loss is very minuscule, for example, he was at that time also online, and because you joined his internet connection, it took him longer to download his application, or it hampered with his internet connection, even if it's only minuscule, even if it's only a little bit, then it's not a case of zeh nena v'zeh lechaser, then already you would have to pay. How much would you have to pay? That would depend on the two dais, the two svaris in the Ramah. The Gemara, which we said last time, last year we discussed it, that if you living in someone else's house, even though he's not renting out the house anyway, and he wouldn't be losing out anyway because he's not renting out his property anyway, But nevertheless, if you blacken the walls even somewhat, then you have to pay, because it's not zeh nehneh v'zeh lechoser. I'm deriving benefit, but he is not, and he's not, and he is losing out because he's chaser, because after all, the walls are becoming black. So we saw a svar in the Ramad, and in such a case, you have to pay for the entire thing. You wouldn't have to pay just for the damage that I caused, but you'd have to pay for the entire benefit that I derived from having your, from using your item. And the svara we said, the reason we said, is because the svara of zeh nehneh v'zeh lechoser is not just because the reason I'm potter is because I'm not making you lose out. The reason why I'm potter is because really I'm chayef to pay because I derive full benefit. The reason why I'm potter is, the reason why I don't have to pay is because we forced you to be a nice person and to let it go. And then a person can say, listen, I'm only going to be a nice person if it's not causing me any damage whatsoever, any harm whatsoever. But if my walls become black, then you cannot force me to be a nice guy. In such a case, I don't want to give up my house for free. So therefore, in such a case where you do cause him even a small amount of damage, you have to pay for the entire hana, the entire benefit that you derive. So in our scenario as well, if you go onto someone's Wi-Fi connection and the person has incurred a loss because of it, even if it's only minuscule, he has to wait 5 extra minutes for his application to be downloaded, then the person can say, the one who has the subscription to the internet can say, listen, I don't mind if you use it and it doesn't cause me any damage. But once it causes me damage, I don't want to be a nice person. I don't want to give you something and I have to lose out. And therefore, if I don't want to give you something and I have to lose out, then the original svara would apply. You'd have to pay for the entire hana. You'd have to pay for the full amount that you derive benefit from the other person. Because why? Because the svara of zeh nehneh v'zeh lechoser means that really you pay for the full amount, the hana itself. The fact that I'm deriving benefit, that itself is mechayef, and that's why you have to pay. And therefore, if I go onto your internet connection without you knowing about it, but I cause you some type of damage, I would have to pay for the full hana. And if the full hana means that I spend 10 minutes online, and whatever it cost me to go to the internet cafe and to spend 10 minutes online, I would have to give you that much. And if I don't give you that much, I'm a ganef, because I took something from you. It's zeh nehneh v'zeh chaser. And according to the svara in the Ramah, you'd have to pay the full amount. Why? Because you cannot force me to be kaifen amidas doim. You can't force me to be a nice person if I'm losing out anyway because of you. And if I can't force me to be a nice person, I'll make you pay for the entire thing, for the hana. Because whenever you take something from anybody, whenever you derive benefit from someone, even if he doesn't lose out, that itself is a mechayif. You have to pay. Everything costs. And if I derive any type of benefit from you, that costs money as well. And therefore, I would have to pay for the entire thing. And that would seem to be the halacha.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.